everybody. Welcome to a Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Kevin Moore alongside, as always. We'll take you to 3 o'clock, and then shortly thereafter, 3:45 to be precise, Bill Palmetto's out at Bullard. Central Section playoff action continuing on 14:30. Great matchup, Clovis North and Bullard. They will get things started at 3:45 with the pre and first pitch just after 4 o'clock. When that wraps up, it will be off to Phoenix for the Giants and the D-backs game two of that series. By the way, the Giants will have the time slot tomorrow for this show, but Bill will be up after the Giants and D-backs play in the afternoon tomorrow. The A's are over on 790 tonight. How to turn a no-hitter into a loss in 2 quick minutes. That's what happened last night to the A's. I'll tell you about that and the schedule a little bit later on in its entirety for both 1430 and 790, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Again, when we go over the schedules, I'll tell you about the great fundraising through the Lyles College of Engineering that Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State. Jackson with me today. He'll also be with me on Thursday. Matt Norville on Friday. Jack Berger will be back with us next week. So a lot to do today with Jackson. What we don't get to today, we will carry through the emails on the Thursday. Before we get there, other lead dogs, as always, want to spend some time with you. First, our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. They allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Terrific local people. They've been in NorCal and Central California since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. Might have been to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very competitive pricing, all around great group to deal with. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing, give them a call at 825-5337-825-LEES, or you can also schedule appointments online at leesair.com. As far as the forecast goes, as we talked yesterday, there is nothing to complain about right now. We have had some blistering hot Memorial Day weekends. We've had some lead-up weeks that have been that way. That's not the case right now. Not only are we right around 90 and a little bit above, but the overnights in the 60s have been very pleasant. The cockapoos last night at 2:30 in the morning told me, hey, time to shut the sliding glass door. The fact that my cockapoos can talk is frightening enough. The fact that I can understand them tells you a lot about my deep psychological needs, which include probably trained psychiatrists. That having been said, 89 today, 93 tomorrow, and then we do heat up 96, 97 Thursday and Friday. But then for Memorial Day weekend, we're back down 94 on Saturday, 92 on Sunday, and 91 on Monday. And then next week, a couple of 90s and an 89 completes the 10 days. So we bookend in the 10 days, 289s. This time of year, you take that in a second. Hope people enjoy their time. Remember what Memorial Day is all about. I know it's a time for barbecue and for family gatherings and for celebration in that regard as we celebrate the start of summer. But please remember what Memorial Day is really all about. And again, we appreciate everybody at Lee's for allowing us the time to tell you about the weather. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337-825-LEES. Anything you need, Central Air Plumbing, Heating, or Roofing. They also sponsor the Lee's Air Hotline, and mark that down because you can always give Phil a call when he has his show going on, 559-320-1430. We bring our guests up on that line, and Jackson is waiting patiently right now. Actually, Jackson never waits patiently. He is screaming at Jorge right now one more time saying, don't you know who I am? I'm Jackson Moore, king of the bark board. Don't make me wait. I'm telling you, the guy's megalomaniacal. I know you think he's a nice guy. I know the real Jackson Moore. He is a foot stamper. He makes Beyonce look calm. That's all I'm telling you. We'll get to him in a second, provided he hasn't hung up on me already, which I mention to you every time. All right. He's a great person and very patient and puts up with my BS. So I really appreciate it. We'll get to him in just a second. But first, our buddy Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, allows me the time every day to tell you how to donate to Fresno State, remind you about this great business now in its 26th year, over at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. You can always give them a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or you can head to the web, SuperiorPipeUSA.com, for more information, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com. Talk about it each time. Pipe fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses, suction hoses. From an industrial standpoint, it's all there for you. In particular, if you're someone who works around a valve, if you're a plant maintenance person, tanker delivery service operator, working around the boiler, working at a dairy, anybody who relies upon a valve for the productivity of their business, if that valve goes down, your business can go down with it. One of the great aspects of Joe's business is the personalized same-day service, same-day estimates. Come in or give them a call, tell them what the issues are. If they're minor, get you up and running immediately. If it's a major issue, they'll get started right away and get you up as soon as possible. In that regard, they can prevent or minimize any financial damage to your business and keep the product flowing the way it's supposed to. The other thing Joe will do after you're done addressing your business with him and he's able to take care of whatever he needs to right then, he will ask if you have a few minutes to listen to what he has been able to do in the way of a benefactor for over three decades at Fresno State. And right now we'll tell you the best avenue for donation is head to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There you'll find the different links. BulldogFoundation.org is there. If you click on the donate link, take you there. Club Red, which is for former student athletes to get involved, that's under that header. The major giving societies have their link. That would be the Green Bee Society, Myers Champion Circle. Then under ways to give, Valley Co-op, the critically important matching funds grouping is there. Valley Fueled is there. And the sports clubs, where your money goes directly to a given sport. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Purdy with me to talk basketball throughout the year on the board of directors of the timeout club. They'd love to have more members. It doesn't cost that much. It's a great social entity, but also get a lot of inside information from the coaches, et cetera, during the meetings. Jack has said if you want more information, give him a call directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, purdyjack@aol.com. Also, other links are there for men's and women's sports, for instance, Dugout Club for baseball. Check it all out under ways to give. And then finally, the single word more, that's the link. Tells you about tickets and parking on campus and other information pertinent to Fresno State. So it's all there, one-stop shopping at GoBulldogs.com. And as I've mentioned frequently now in the last month, beginning July 1 will once again be the flagship of Fresno State Athletics on both 1430 and 790. And also Bulldog Sports Enterprises becomes a partner with Fresno State in trying to drive things forward for the university. It's a very important opportunity for businesses out there. So I would urge you to contact Chris or Enrique or anybody at the station, and you can tell them what you would like to do, and they'll help you out in that regard and show you how it benefits Fresno State. So it's a very important undertaking that will start July 1. And again, if you want more information, go to the website at 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll see the phone numbers, the address, everything there. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, for affording us the time to tell you how to donate to Fresno State. Thanks to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you more about his business when we go over the schedule for both stations later on. And thanks, as always, to our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. And right now, on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, our great friend and de facto co-host, it is Jackson Moore, parkboard.com. Jackson, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm done slandering you for the day. Okay. So just so you know, there's nothing like being on hold when you can't defend yourself, right? Here's how it works, Faizan. You have things you want to say in your defense, but you realize it's best just to let it go. I bring this up because that's exactly what marriage is like. Trust me on that one. You have something to say. You have very relevant points to make, points that would actually show you're right and the other individual in your life might be wrong. But if you bring it up, you're going to be more sorry than you could ever imagine later in the day. Do you need to mark that one down, or do you have it by memory by now? Just curious.
Yeah, I just keep my mouth shut while I'm on hold, and then continue on later in the day as well, I guess.
That's great advice for this show and for marriage, right there. Keep your mouth shut when you're on hold. That's always a good idea in marriage as well. All right. Whatever I could do to help you out, you know that. Listen, thanks for putting up with me as always. All right, a lot to do. I want to start here in the laundry list. What we don't get to today, we will get to on Thursday. I want to mention up front, and I've tried to be as open as possible about this, when it comes to the legal / financial aspects of the lawsuits that have been there between the Mountain West and the PAC, and also the merger situation and the addition of schools, all of the other stuff that goes along with it, and the monies that are going to be doled up by the networks. I've told you guys, I really cannot comment on that because of involvement I have in those areas. So I will once again say I appreciate the questions. I'll try to talk around it the best I can. But the best way to start it is to turn to you, Jackson, before we talk about Fresno State directly and ask you any comment you want to make about the potential monies coming from the networks and or any comment about the settlement that's coming down the road between the Mountain West and the PAC. Anything you'd like to say publicly?
Well, it's just nice that there's some sort of development here. It seems like it's been on hold for a while and weren't sure how soon it was going to have something coming. And we know that there's a settlement and there's some things happening behind the scenes. I think pretty much any reports or comments on exactly the details are very largely just guessing at this point. You know, you assume that there's a settlement, that the Pac-12 is going to get out of some of the money that the Mountain West wanted from them, which is a good sign regardless of what level that's going to be. But I think for now you kind of just stand pat and wait until early June here when we should get some more details and some more notice. It might not be all done from that point either, so there might be more to deal with, but at least we'll have some sort of inkling of where this is going.
I think that's a very professional and pertinent addressing of the situation. I will say this, and I've said it before, so it's not talking out of school at all, but in any negotiation, you know this, a settlement is reached 99% of the time, and by the way, almost everything that is threatened to go to court ends up being adjudicated between the parties. Most lawsuits never make it to trial, okay, or in front of a judge. But Jackson, there are two reasons. You know, we've talked about this, about in life in general, right? When the fear of the known exceeds the fear of the unknown, that's when change is made. One more time. Everything in our existence is based upon, if you know the bridge is blown out in front of you, it's not hard to take a different path since you know the one you're on is going to lead to disappointment and danger. The trick is when you're not sure whether the path you're on is right or not, trying to make a change can become very, very difficult emotionally and financially and every other way. The reality is, when both sides see there's no benefit long term, then a settlement is going to be reached because they're both bleeding in a figurative sense because of it. The other thing is, when you close in on discovery or you close in a potential trial and one side realizes they might not have the case they want, it's the old axiom you learn in law school, Jackson, Brian Patterson, I talked about this, right? If you got the facts, you pound the facts. If you don't have the facts, you pound the table. Okay, that's how it works. Well, you can only pound the table so long, and if you look up and say the facts are not on our side, you'll run this thing as long as you can, and then you'll say, okay, it's time for us to cut our losses. Let's go ahead and make a settlement. One of the two things is taking place, either both sides, or it could be a combination of the two. Either both sides have seen it is not beneficial to proceed, or one side knows it's about ready to get its butt kicked, so it wants to get out. you want to take a wild guess which of the two is going on, or you want to say it's a combination of the two? I know, but I can't say it. So you want to go ahead and say it, go right ahead.
Probably some sort of combination there. Nonetheless, it's trying to get a lot more money than even they were contractually obligated to get, and the Pac-12 is trying to get out of a lot less than they were supposed to give. So you imagine it's going to meet somewhere in the middle. But I'm not sure the far ends of this thing are very favorable for either conference, and they're going to have to meet somewhere in the middle.
You are a very wise man, and I'm just going to leave it at that, all right, because I'm my toes are up over the cliff enough. That phone's going to ring at 3 o'clock if I'm not there. You know, this thing about putting the show on the Internet live was a great idea, but it does lead to people way away from this area. You know, the old days, I've told you this before, right? When our great friend Rod Higgins was the general manager of the then woebegone Golden State Warriors, you may know them better now as a recent four-time champion, Golden State Warriors. I knew him as the 40 years, nada de importante Warriors, okay, between 75 and 2015. But we did the Sunday show, and we would do it on KFRE 940. And Rod would come on with us from the Bay Area, and I'd ask him a question. And keep in mind, at this point, Chris Cohan was the owner of the Warriors, who was a cable magnate who originally was from Hanford, who had no idea how to run the Warriors. That's the reason they were dying on the vine. But I'd ask Rod questions, and he would jokingly say, this is well before the Internet, he would say, well, I hope nobody's riding across the Golden Gate Bridge turning the dials right now where they hear me, ha, ha, ha. Okay, that became very unfunny once the Internet started, because at that point, Jackson, you didn't need to worry about somebody riding across the Golden Gate Bridge who could hear the signal. You worried about somebody who went and listened to a podcast, and they came after you afterward, okay? So I'm just saying, technology is great. It's not great if you're trying to hide what you said. You understand what I'm saying? I think you do, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So I'm saying I'm close enough to fly. I'm going to look like Wile E. Coyote in just a minute. Wham, right to the bottom with some bogus Acme products here. And you, as the Roadrunner, going to go right on by, okay? So we're going to leave it at that. I will ask you one other thing for my own self-preservation. Are you looking at the devil in the details about the final long-term per-school payout coming from the media partners?
Well, I mean, that's a big piece of it, and we haven't gotten really any leaks. There's been some action on social media where I think some people try to connect dots that maybe aren't quite there yet. There's been some pretty big numbers being tossed around the last couple of days. I don't think it's going to be that high. You know, it hasn't been verified anywhere. I think if it was that high, it would have been leaked from the conference. You know, that's something you want to celebrate. And you know, at the end of the day, I think the conference is going to get a lot more than the Mountain West, but yeah, not sure it's going to be nearly as high as some of the optimistic takes were on it. It's an upgrade, but you know, I don't think it's going to be as massive as maybe some think it might.
I can go this far with it, and because we've talked about it before, TV partners do not pay per school. They may delineate it like that, but in reality, what TV partners do is they say your conference, which obviously the factoring does involve which schools are more high profile, et cetera. For instance, the Big Ten, naturally, they're going to throw more money in. You have major partners there, ABC wishes they were, but CBS, NBC, Fox, that kind of stuff. They know that Ohio State and Michigan are going to bring a certain value. What they really do is they say to the conference, taken as a whole, you're worth X number of dollars per year. You distribute them the way you feel fit. We know what our breakdown is. The same thing, Jackson, applies here. We have a conference that has been given a sum of money, taking the combination of all the media partners that they have right now. What they're saying is your conference is worth this much money, and that's the reason that it was very sage, very wise to go slow, because you and I both know if you're going to have the greatest share per school, you're going to have the fewest amount of schools possible. It was one of the great mistakes that Fresno State made administratively, and I've talked about this over and over again, even though the monies were not as substantial in the 90s. The premise held, when the Bulldogs joined the WAC as a single entrant at the start of the 90s, for those that weren't around, understand one more time, this was the original WAC, the traditional WAC of BYU, of Utah, those schools. And they invited Fresno State and Fresno State only into the mix. It's a very rare occurrence that that happens. And their reward was for Fresno State's administration to be part of the advocacy to bring other schools along and turn the WAC into an ungainly 16-team amalgamation. In doing that, it not only made scheduling a nightmare, it also meant that you reduced the per-school share because you had more pieces of the pie. Jackson, they, as a conference, have learned that from those mistakes, Fresno State and the grouping headed up by Washington State and Oregon State that's now the PAC. So the eight teams as opposed to 12 teams right now means even though the money is no more, is no greater, the amount of money per school is greater. That's why you're going to be better off than you were in the much larger Mountain West. But what I do have to ask you is, at what point does that become, in your opinion, a case of diminishing utility where you have to add a school or schools before you start to take a back step because you don't have enough inventory or you don't have the proper scheduling? Is it imperative in your mind that you at least get that night school for football, or are you willing to wait long term?
Well, I mean, just for me, if I could see the numbers, it would probably be pretty obvious which way the conference needs to go. There's pros and cons to it, too, so I'm not exactly sure which side is better. Is it you get more money spread around between eight schools with less inventory, or, you know, if you have nine and more inventory but you have less, how great of a deal is that in the end for each of these schools if it's significant? I think, for me, it's based off who's available, and maybe if this this lawsuit between the two conferences, if it clears up, and maybe the conference can go grab UNLV after all, that would be something I think they should do pretty quickly. If you got to look elsewhere, you know, do they have more money available to go grab someone like UTSA, or I know it's geographically ridiculous, but I know UConn's been thrown around there as a football-only entrant, and there might be some advantages beyond football to having that relationship, but otherwise, if you're cash-strapped and you can't get many schools out of their current conference affiliations due to exit fees and you're down to just a few options, I think I just don't think you take a ninth just for the sake of having a ninth. I think they kind of already did that, bringing in Texas State, and that's gone on over pretty well, I think. I think the Bobcats are going to be a pretty good addition, but if there was two Texas States out there, I think they would have just did it then. There's just not really another option that I see that is an easy one to get done financially.
Well, we've talked about, and you just brought it up, the UTSA, and certainly the two main topics of conversation, UNLV and UTSA, and as we mentioned, San Antonio, what, 2023, that's as recent as their entrance into a conference. It is complicated for them to get out right now. If they were free agents, given their geography, given the fact that they would pair up nicely with San Marcos, it would be a real good addition. But one more time, the devil is in the details, and those details have to do with dollar signs. The situation with UNLV, as we have talked over and over again, and I don't care if you're someone who cannot stand UNLV, it's a business decision. That's what it is. It's not about whether you like the way UNLV has comported itself, whether you like their administration or whatever. What is obvious about UNLV is there are fractures in the hierarchy there about exactly which direction they're supposed to go. You have got people administratively sitting up above sport who believe staying in the Mountain West, taking some monies there, and having a nice little sports program in what has been or will be certainly a dominant sports franchise for professional teams. I say that because you know the Raiders are there, and evidently they're there long term. You know already that you have the commitment from the A's. You've got the WNBA doing great work there. The National Hockey League has been a tremendous success. I mean, right now, again, the Golden Knights are getting ready to start the Western Conference Final against the Avalanche. You know the NBA is coming in a few years. And so by the time it's done, by 2028, the A's are there shortly thereafter, maybe that year, you have got an NBA team, and you have people saying, you know what, a nice little college program in a pro-dominated market works out great. Others say, no, it's a vibrant 2 million-plus metro area. We have all sorts of money around us, and we need to be in the best conference possible. Certainly that's how the athletic department feels. That would mean we need to go to the pack we should have gone to begin with. Jackson, until they settle that war within the confines of their own halls, how in the world are they going to be attractive? That's my question to you, for anybody to take a leap unless they all get on the same page.
Right. I totally agreed. It would have been nice to have been able to get on the same page originally. I think the pack's in a spot where there's definitely a difference between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West. You look at the two lineups, and it's obviously very favorable that Fresno State's on the side that they're in. But I don't think they were able to quite strike that group of options that maybe would have made them the clear non-power conference out there. I think the American, by holding on to their teams, is right up there. And then there's still a couple of targets in the Mountain West you would have liked to have had. So, you know, maybe it all gets done after everything settles here. But, it hasn't been perfect, but it has been better, I think, overall for Fresno State side of things.
And further complicating it, and you're well aware of it, and we've talked about it, is there are certain individuals administratively at UNLV who believe that they are going to be headed to the Big 12. Now, to go back to the countless hours we spent discussing the Big 12 vis-a-vis the PAC and all the crazy stuff that happened between 2023 and 2025. You and I both know this, Jackson, and I brought it up to you after your Mark made the final last-ditch effort going to ESPN and Fox. We talked about it ad nauseum and said, we want UConn and we want Fresno State, even when they were at 16, after the corner schools had jumped in the PAC and imploded the original PAC. Because of the greed of, again, two schools, both in the Bay Area. Okay. That's right. I'm talking about St. Mary's and San Jose State, ladies and gentlemen. But we talked about it at that time, and that was, your Mark said, we'll revisit it in 2026. This is long before the PAC and all of this stuff that Oregon State and Washington State invited the schools in the Mountain West, including Fresno State. And you remember the first thing I said to you, there will be no revisiting in 2026. Remember that? We talked about it. Said it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because the only place your Mark could go would be to the same two entities, Fox and ESPN, who told him it was elephant ears in 2024. They're not going to revisit it in 2026. Because until the contracts end at the start of the 30s, there's no extra money. So anybody who thinks that UNLV is going to be invited to the Big 12 right now and a network is going to pay for it, they're out of their ever-loving minds. The only way UNLV could get in the Big 12 right now is they would have to back up the Brinks truck. And they would have to say, much like Cal and Stanford did to the ACC, we will essentially pay our way in. And Jackson, I just do not see that happening. Do you?
I do not. It's, you know, the money's around there in Vegas, but there's just so much going towards a lot of other things in the sports world with all the professional teams storming in there and more seemingly to come. So I think, you know, perhaps if there wasn't that pro influx and, you know, people wanted to rally around UNLV athletics, you can make the case, but it's hard when you've got, I mean, the Raiders in the same venue. That's just not going to be, I think, the interest to justify all that money for the Rebels.
Well, we talked about UNLV offering up $20 million at one point during negotiations while everything was scrambling around in the Big 12. And that would have had to have been $20 million a year over 6 years for 120. And look, if they have money, substantial money, I'm sure that somebody would listen to what they have to say. But reality says, barring that, and I guess you could put it under the header of you never say never, but barring that happening, everything's going to have to wait in the Big 12 and everything else until the start of the 2030s when the new contracts come in. And one more time, we know it's going to happen. There's going to be that top tier that's going to involve a relative few schools. They are going to be the ones the network's going to be willing to pay for. Then the second tier is going to be made up of the rest of the grouping, which will be the worthy schools that are part of the group of six, and the schools that don't make the cut in the ACC and the Big 12, because the SEC and the Big 10 will have most of their schools moving forward, although they will shed extra weight themselves. So that will be the second tier. The third tier, as we've talked about, is Mike Tyson headed to Bolivian. And that is where I believe the Mountain West is going to end up with other conferences. I'm confident, one more time, the PAC will be in that second tier. But Jackson, whether it's going to be a second tier that gives you the kind of monies you want is going to have a lot to do with how big your conference is and how valuable the schools are going forward. And as I mentioned to you, if you want to give the PAC a grade right now, it would be incomplete because they are not a full conference yet. They're enough to be legally okay to play football and other sports, but they can't stay with just seven conference games long-term, having to schedule five out-of-conference games every year. They're going to have to add. The question is, how many and who and of what value are they? And you've already delineated, it's really tough right now, the way the landscape looks, to figure out exactly who's worthy and available. That duality is very difficult, right? There are schools available who aren't worthy, and there are schools that are worthy who are not available. How limited is that roster of both available and worthy right now as we talk, heading to 2027? Meaning the 26-27 academic year I'm talking about.
Yeah, if you put the Venn diagram together, you've got, I think most are in one circle and most are in the other. I'm not sure there's much crossover right now until we find out exactly what's available for the PAC financially. If they get more money saved out of this lawsuit, if they get more money from the TV deal than expected, you know, maybe there's more to go out and maybe the Venn diagram closes in a little bit. But I think you've got the teams that you want that aren't financially viable, and the teams that are financially viable are not necessarily schools you want. I think Texas State was right in the sweet spot, and I don't know if even if there was, you know, three other like Texas State schools, if you want to make that such a large chunk of your conference, but you know, you might have to bite the bullet and go get one of them.
And that's the reason your conference is the Pac-8 right now, for that reason, right? The old Cat Stevens. If I can find him, I can get him. But as of yet, I haven't met him. Okay, you know, you're in that situation where you can look from afar and say, well, I mean, look at what happened with Yormark, right? The guy had a wonderful master plan. He knew what he was left with. He knew what Bowlesby had done. He looked geographically, and he said, you know what? There are two things I really want. I want UConn, because their basketball program gives me New York. And keep in mind, he spent a lot of years in the front office there with the Nets, right? So he wanted UConn. And then he looked at California and he said, I want in, and Fresno State fits our profile. And if I can get the rest of the conference to see my vision, we are going to be a wonderfully diverse conference. Problem is, after the breakaway, he still had that vision. But like I said, he had university presidents, if you want to use the analogy of too big a meal, who are completely stuffed full and they had no interest in dessert, okay? And he's saying, no, you don't get it. We need to move forward. Standing still is going backwards. We have to keep up with the SECs and the Big Tens. And Yormark was right. His university presidents didn't listen. But the problem was, you can have the vision. And one more time, Jackson, it is not, there are none so blind than those that cannot see. It is those that will not see, okay? They're capable of it, They're just unwilling to move off of their perch. And it has a lot to do with administrators who make a whole lot of money who say, why should I take a chance doing this? It's not going to put one more dollar in my bank account. Well, the reason is for the overall good of the organization you're working for. That applies to Congress, and that applies to college athletics at the same time. Are we not in agreement about that?
Yeah, certainly. And that's where you wonder if any of these stocks might show up again on the next round of contracts. And you know, that's ideally, or if you're going to wait for the right school, if you're the Pack, you might have to wait that long. And maybe if your own programs become targets once again, perhaps you're not in such a position of power if you go from eight conference schools to fewer during that time. So it's a tough balancing act, I think, here to keep the integrity of the conference, but also, again, have the inventory and the members to make it through the next round, too.
It really comes down to who is the best poker player. We were talking about this several months ago. I mentioned to you that during deregulation in markets like this, for instance, radio-wise, where it was for the longest time that your ownership was limited to 1 a.m. and 1 f.m., right? Then it was 2 and 2, and then finally they said in the FCC, okay, you know, we'll open it up to 5 of these, 3 of those, whatever, and all of a sudden what you had is a lot of markets where major corporations came in and at a very inflated price bought up, because the best way to dominate a market rather than to compete is own most of it. And then you don't have to worry about somebody else outselling you, right? If you can't control the means of distribution alone, control the means of production and distribution, you can rest pretty easy at night, all right? The problem was some of the ownership, local ownership, sold right away. Others said, you know what, if we wait long enough, these major corporations are going to offer us more and more, except one small problem. If you waited too long, then what happened to you is those corporations got full up themselves, and they could not buy you because they'd exceeded those extra limits, and you end up all dressed up and nowhere to go. And you said, uh-oh, the biggest radio holders in the world are in the market, and we're still in ownership, and we can't compete with them. We can't sell national ads with them. We don't have the manpower nor the money to sell with them locally. We should have sold out. Jackson, this is what is going to happen if you're not careful. You have to say how big is too big, but also you have to say how small is too small. I would say this, even though I grew up with the Pac-8, that was when television was one game a week on ABC. That was it. The TV monies were basically, they weren't inconsequential, but they didn't drive the bus, and you particularly didn't have NIL monies and everything there. Right now, I think the calculation has to be, you've got to find that right number, and whatever it is, you're going to have to pursue it. And I think you've got to at least get to 9 in a big hurry. You talk to schedulers. They will tell you it's a nightmare trying to get 4 non-conference games. Jackson, how are you going to get 5 a year long term?
Yeah, it's been very difficult for Fresno State. You know, there's just schools, Texas and to the east, I mean, there's a whole lot of options for them to pick from. You know, why are they going to come all the way up to California unless they've got a particular reason? And a lot of schools out west don't want to have to come to Fresno, obviously, when you look at the power conference schools. So the options have been limited. You know, perhaps with now the Mountain West being a whole chunk of teams you can schedule, maybe that there's 2 or 3 non-conference series to be had there that can help fill it out. But it's particularly tough on this end of the country for sure.
Well, we'll see what they do. I don't want to see them add dead weight. And I know the argument is, okay, you can flex the schedule as they're trying now. But the danger of that is the redundancy of two schools that may end up playing 3 times in a year if you're not careful. Also, it unbalances the schedule and makes it unduly difficult. And, you know, something you and I are going to talk about in ensuing weeks, the benefit, and you know this well, and the SEC and the Big Ten see it as well, as much as you'd love and you'd like to tout if you're a commissioner, a well-balanced conference, isn't the cold, hard truth, Jackson, you're better off with top-heavy conferences as far as national credibility? Aren't you better off having 2 or 3 outstanding schools that can contest for a national championship rather than beating the snot out of one another and cannibalizing your conference?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think when you look at these conferences with 17, 18 teams, it's rather ridiculous. When, I mean, even in the Mountain West with 12, it's really tough to get the tiebreakers right and get a true conference championship game in. But when you have that many teams, especially if you're a power conference school, you're going to have a lot of viable playoff teams that aren't even in the conference championship. I think if you're the American, also your larger conference, you know, you might have two or three teams that are in that mix down the stretch. Of course, the conference championship game might knock somebody out, but if you're talking about a 2014 playoff and you have that many teams, there could be some contenders there, where if you only have eight schools and you're all going to play each other, you know, you're not going to have two undefeated teams meeting in the conference championship. You're going to have probably your second place team get beat twice by the first place team. And you know, it's better to have one, two, or three big names, teams with numbers by their logos in the top 25. But I think for playoff purposes, the PAC's probably going to be putting all its eggs in one basket here, where the larger conferences, they have a little more leeway to get other teams in.
Well, the SEC made it clear if they're going to go to a nine-game conference schedule, they want a 24-team playoff because they do not want to penalize three-loss schools in their particular conference. And I don't need to tell you what that means for the group of six, right? I mean, that just means more exclusion, for goodness sake. And it's certainly inevitable that that's what's going to happen. The expansion is going to be just like the expansion, as we talked, for the big dance in the NCAA basketball tournament. It's all about adding more power schools because they don't want to be penalized for a more difficult schedule. And I guess if you're on that side of the ledger, you feel you're right about it. If you're from the group of six looking, you're saying this is more of a chasm of unfairness here that we're dealing with. Jackson, we have run out of time today. I'm glad we have Thursday coming up very quickly here as a precursor of Thursday. Any names committing or Fresno State offering right now we need to know about football-wise?
Yeah, kind of the calm before the storm right now. There are some new offers going out as we'll like get into official visit season. There'll be a lot of offers during the camps, but you know, there's a kind of a smaller list of targets that they've got set for official visits, and a lot of them are right here in Fresno State's backyard. You've got Thomas Dixon at San Joaquin Memorial is going to be on that first weekend, as will A.J. Williams from Hanford High. That'll be not this upcoming weekend, but the following weekend. We're trying to get Xavier Jones over at Central locked in for an official visit. And again, the 2028 class continues to get very strong here in town. We talked about James Caruso the other day. Well, now Major Lee at Clovis West has picked up a North Carolina offer, also at running back. So it seems like a growing pool of talent here in the Valley right now for the next couple of years.
We'll talk more about it on Thursday. Jackson, I appreciate it, my friend, as always. Hope people visit the board, barkboard.com. Still a special going on. Where are we at with that right now?
Yeah, it's currently 50% off to join for the year, or you can also try us out for just $1 on your first month. We've got that back. So hope people give us a little bit of a trial here for recruiting time if you want to check it out.
Greatest bargain there is out there, that's for sure. Appreciate it, my friend. Talk to you on Thursday. Take care.
All right, you too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, expect co-host Jackson Moore, barkboard.com. Take a break. Tell you about the schedule. Get ready for Phil and Paul Metters out just down the street from the station at Bullard. A huge Central Section playoff matchup coming up between Clovis North and Bullard at 3:45 today. Take a break. Tell you about the entirety of the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back to 252. A few minutes ago on the show, normally we'd be handing it off to Phil right at 3 o'clock. Phil is out at Bullard today. He and Paul Metters, playoff action, Central Section, with Bullard hosting Clovis North, 3:45. Those two gentlemen be ready to go. Tell you about the schedule right now for both 1430 and 790, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. More information, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. We commend Ed each and every day, and deservedly so, for the great fundraising he does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. The goal, as always, to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years. A lot of those grads from the Lyles College of Engineering come to work for Ed and Precision Civil Engineering, one of the very best civil engineering firms you'll find anywhere on the planet. As far as the lineup goes, I mentioned the high school game coming up at 3:45 on 14:30. As soon as Bullard and Clovis North wrap up, it'll be off to Phoenix as the Giants try to play better than they did. You know, Nolan hasn't made up his mind about it. He could just, whether it was at the Rockies or with the Cardinals, giant killer Nolan Arenado is the best way to phrase it. Grand slam, and the Giants were done in the first inning yesterday. We'll see how it goes tonight. Again, they have a 6:40 first pitch. They have an afternoon game tomorrow, which will take us off the air, but Phil will be up as soon as the game wraps up. Over on 790, it will be the A's and the Angels, a 6 o'clock pre, and another 6:38 first pitch from the Big A in Anaheim, where Ginn had a no-no into the ninth, lost the no-hitter, and then lost the game on a two-run homer. And the A's are struggling a little bit after playing very well early in this season. We'll continue with the Giants and the A's throughout the year. Also, later in the week, we'll be able to have playoff action from the NBA. Of course, the Knicks and the Cavs start tonight. The Spurs and the Thunder with that great game last night, they will be on our air later in the week, and the Knicks and the Cavs will be with us a little bit later toward the weekend, Memorial Day weekend, of course, coming up. And for us, high school baseball will continue throughout this month of May. So a lot going on station-wise. Reminds you, normally Phil 3 to 6 with his great show Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with a good friend, Rod Avedikian. Best furniture on the planet, nothing like it in California. The Memorial Day sales going on right now. So Memorial Day and all the way through, Rod will have, I think it's the 66th annual sale there at Fashion Furniture El Paso, across from River Park. Stop in and see him and check out the furniture. And when Phil is there, some good eats as well. And you can also give Phil a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. Paul Metters, who is with Phil today for the baseball game at Bullard, has his fine show on Saturday mornings live from First String Sports, 10 a.m. to noon. And that is Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, TDAD1 at ATT.net, TDAD, the number one at ATT.net. To Phil P. out there, to Eddie Hughes, to everybody who sent in emails. Guys, I appreciate it. Normally, I would have gotten back to you by now, but this back is back to torturing me. I'm hoping to get it taken care of one more time right at the end as we head to the playoffs in baseball. We'll see if I survive that long, but I do enjoy reading the emails, and I'll try to get back to you guys whenever I can. Final reminders, everything for the station, 1430 ESPN, Fresno.com. Get the live links and podcast there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. Thanks as always to Jorge. Thanks to Jackson for his time. He'll be back with me on Thursday. And thanks as always to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Stay tuned in just 45 minutes. It's baseball action, playoff time. Bullard hosting Clovis North. When that one wraps up on 14:30, it's the Giants and the D-backs, and the A's are over on 790. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Phil will talk to you for baseball today and his show tomorrow after the Giants on KFIG Fresno.